Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. We are talking waiver wire pickups and the Round 11 review. And to help me do that, as always, Stevie Fizz, how you doing, pal?
It's been a... It started out bad, Jono. The weekend started out bad on Thursday. I thought, I'll pick up Carl Amon and throw him in my team.
He was on our waiver-wise. You should have.
He was.
I was in the waiver-wise. This is in our league of record, our home league, Jono, and I picked up Carl Amon because I was an underdog, but I thought I could make a couple moves if I'm in a good spot after Thursday night. The teams are in. The final teams are in. I go pick up. Me and Mrs. Fizz were having some Vietnamese that night, so I went and picked it up from the shop. Came back in. I'm dishing up our soup. The crab and asparagus, which was delicious, and here on the telecast, Jimmy Tompas' name, and don't you just know when you hear something like Jimmy Tompas that things are about to sink your team? So I went to the AFL site, and sure enough, I got tumped, and it all went downhill from there. So. I hope the listeners certainly had a better week than I did in our league of record, Jono.
Certainly did, especially with the bye rounds of death causing havoc for everyone. But not so much for this guy, the Statesman. He's sitting pretty in the listener league with another cruisy win for him. Welcome to you, Statesman.
Yes. G'day, gentlemen. Look, I must admit I've had a pretty good weekend. Won all my leagues on Ultimate, so... Happy little camper, and just a bit of a issue with the hashtag brand, but I must gloat nice and comfortably in the top 300 in AFL Fantasy and in the top 50 for AFL Real Dream Team. So a cruisy little weekend, being reasonably smart, no doubt it'll crash and burn over the next two bye rounds.
How's your Supercoach team going?
Pretty poorly. Seeing your ask. But I did, the first day we met, I did say I'm a shocking super coach player. Because I, like most other people, don't understand the scoring.
Not most people. Every single person who plays super coach don't understand the scoring on that one.
Yes.
But I must say, I did make a bit of a blue in our listener league record. I was sitting there, sitting pretty. I was looking at the matchup. I had 17 versus 13. I thought, I'll make Treloar captain, made him captain, went to have a look at my team after the games had started Saturday night, realised I hadn't made the save change, and I've lost by 3 points, gentlemen. Not good at all.
Well, you suck.
Yes, so make sure you hit that save button in Ultimate Footy. It gets me every bloody time, I reckon.
Well, it's probably because your laptop crashes out.
That's true.
And I will say that I did the same mistake that young Stephen made as well in actually selecting Carl Amon on my team and not actually checking what was going on until the game started. So that's it's a clear tip for everyone is actually look at your Twitter feed. It's a hugely important thing, especially when you're talking games in the buys.
Yeah, absolutely, because it could cost you a win. But a bit of news coming out over the weekend. We saw Stevie J's car got stolen and then was used in a high-speed police chase. But he didn't care about the car. It was all about the golf clubs that he left in the boot. But still no word on how they've actually fared if they did survive the car crash that did ensue in the high-pursuit chase. Also coming out, a few injuries over the weekend. Set your face to shocked people because Daniel Wells is injured yet again. Suspected calf went off in the, I think it was the third quarter there in the Collingwood Freo game. And if it's a calf, then we know that's about 12 weeks and season over for Wellesley because it seems to be a bit of an issue for him.
And how is that Collingwood Investments going? Who did they get on free agency? Chris Mayne and Daniel Wells. How are they tracking?
Well, Chris Mayne could have lined up for Freo and it still wouldn't have made a difference.
Oh, come on, boys. Come on. Easy. Match winner, Will Hoskin-Elliott. Actually, Lyndon Dunn. He was all right.
Yes.
The unheralded Lyndon Dunn.
It also looks like Jamie Elliott went down with a left leg injury there in the fourth quarter as well, so still waiting to see what happens with him. Mitch Robinson, if you've been holding on to him, hoping he might get back for the finals, he's been ruled out for the rest of the season, so you can drop him back into the pool if you already haven't done so. And not so much as a physical injury, but a mental injury. We saw Alex Fasolo out, came out with saying he's suffering from depression, and we wish him all the best in getting back onto the footy field. But Steve, do we want to go there with the Mark Robinson tweet?
Look, it's pretty low-hanging fruit, Jono. What was actually interesting, I thought, was the amount of players who are actually able to, or feel comfortable enough, I guess you could say, speaking out about their own battles with the black dog of depression. And one that caught my eye, Jono, was Brendan Favola was interviewed and was talking about his own battles with depression, and that he'd go onto Big Footy seeking performance feedback. Now, I love Big Footy as much as the next person, but that's not really the place to look for performance feedback. That's like me saying to Mrs. Fizz that I'll be home at 6 o'clock after golf, stumbling in at about 10:30 with two mates pissed towards a fart with an extra couple of slabs, and saying how top of a bloke am I? It's just weird. No. It's sad. These guys are people.
Well, we even saw Patrick Dangerfield. He said he saw a psychiatrist at, when he was over his time in Adelaide. So, best player in the comp, and everyone needs help at some sort of stage. So, if you do, there's always someone out there to give you an ear to listen to, really.
Not you, Joe. I'd never go to you. You're a prick.
No. Yes. Just suck it up. Teaspoon of concrete, something like that.
Oh, no.
No, but if you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals, the Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups each week, dropping on that website there. Or just check us out on Facebook, just search The Draft Doctors. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for the week, and when we do talk about waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footies 65% ownership or less, just so that everyone has a chance at getting these players. And to kick us off with the waiver wire pickups is Statesman.
Yes, gentlemen, and I'm going to work on the Jono theory that 65% is quite flexible at times, but I'll only do that the once. I did mention this man last week, but it was a great pickup, so it needs to be mentioned again, and that's the fabulous Pierce Hanley, obviously a midfielder for Gold Coast, who did play last week, but played quite poorly. This week, he was a gun against it. West Coast, 121. He's got Hawthorn next week. He's a proven scorer and will play through the rest of the buys for you. Owned by 66%, Jono. Pick him up while you can. And just remember, see how much those players for Adelaide scored against, or correction, Port Adelaide scored against Hawthorn last week. Is a big tip, Pierce Hanley. If he's on your waiver wire, pick him up. The next one is Tory Dixon. So I've concentrated on some players that are going to play the last two games of the bye rounds. Tory Dixon, forward for Western Bulldogs, only played the two games this year, but they were the last two rounds. He's averaging 80 after those two games. He's got Sydney and Melbourne over the remaining buys. Fair enough, not the easiest draw, but could be good cover and only owned by 45%. Would you pick up Tory Dixon, gentlemen?
Yes, I would.
I have before.
Western Bulldogs. Ryan Lester is next, Brisbane forward, averaging 74, but he has averaged 80 over the last 5 weeks. Owned by 53%, and with Fremantle at their next home game, he should turn up for you harder the week after against Port in round 13. So it could be 1 week on your field, and if you've got a pretty good crew for round 13, just chuck him on the bench as emergency. So that's Ryan Lester. Next one, who we've mentioned before, most of us picked him up and performed really well for 4 weeks, but then unfortunately got an injury, and that's Jimmy Webster. defender for St Kilda, was in top form with a change of role and scored a four-game average of 90 points before that injury. He's ready to return. He should be right to go, only owned by 56%. Jimmy Webster, you still hot on him, Steve?
I don't mind Jimmy Webster at all. I think that's a pretty savvy pickup, and certainly the fact that he hasn't actually played might mean he slips through if you're low on your waiver priority or, in fact, don't actually put one in. So that's a pretty savvy one. I don't mind it. Tough matchup, though, this week.
Absolutely. The next one's for all the Carl Amon owners at the moment. You can drop him and actually pick up Jimmy Tumpus, the great man, midfielder for Port Adelaide. Now, I've put him in for a reason, because this is make or break for this man. He was a pick number four. This is his fifth season, so it's a make or break year for him. He looked pretty well, looked pretty good over the weekend, 98, but it was against Hawthorn. So we need to acknowledge that it was Hawthorn. But Jimmy Tumpus is a quality football player. Hasn't delivered an AFL, didn't make it at Richmond, which is never a good sign.
Melbourne.
And we do know that players that get picked up in the first round don't always become superstars. But this boy can play, great outside player, good skills. I think he's in the team. He'll get a shot for one more week at least after that game. He earned another game. So we'll see what happens with Jimmy Tumpus. Would you take the punt, Steve?
No chance. I know he had an okay game. I won't take that away, but I would imagine that he's the first to go when Chad puts his hand up, if in fact he does play this week.
Yeah, I think Jimmy will get one more game, but if he plays well, he might play himself into form. There's a lot of young kids going in and out of that team, so we'll see what happens there. I've taken a punt on him already.
My big problem with that is I put him in the same basket as Sam Gray and Brennan Archie, and I rate those guys just in front of him, especially Archie. I'm quite hot on him. I have been all year. I think you guys know that, but that's just my... Hey, could be wrong, could be right. We'll see.
Teams need outside players, and that's what he's very good at. So we'll see how that lines up. It's a match for match with him. Jeffy Garlett is my next one. Melbourne forward. Coverage for the buys was probably the only reason I would bring him in, although he can pump out a big one, 138 against Gold Coast and 106 against Fremantle this year. Has Collingwood and the Bulldogs for his next two games, and they're both giving up reasonably big points. So Jeffy Garlett should be good cover for the next 2 weeks. And last but not least, and it was a great game this weekend, 91 against the Gold Coast for Peter Wright. He has got a good matchup against Hawthorn next week and should be in for a big score, averaging 70 for the year. So in a keeper, he's a definite one you should have in your team. Peter Wright.
Some quality picks there. I both had Peter Wright and Jeffy Garlett for my waivers. Steve, who have you got there, mate?
Well, I also had 2-metre Peter, so that's, and he's only 42% owned, so he's there. Love that. But my number one pick is actually Shane Biggs, only owned in 62% of leagues. We know Robert Murphy playing against the Swans. Defenders rack it up there. He does score when he's on the park. I think it's a no-brainer if you need a defender. If you need a forward, Tim Taranto, 61% owned. He's been fine, but this is a real short-term play. He's probably only got a couple of weeks before the other half forwards come back for GWS, and he does look like he probably needs a rest as well. I'm going to throw out Hugh Greenwood, gentlemen. Only owned in 65% of leagues. Is a forward. Love that option. But he scored really well in a loss. I always look for players who can score well in a loss. That, to me, that's pretty impressive, because we know Adelaide are going to win their fair share of games. If he can give you 80s in a loss, that's I really like that. And what we've seen from the three or four games he's played is been pretty good. Next guy is Brennan Archie, as I spoke about, midfield forward, only owned in 14% of teams. That's fantastic. You can grab him. They've got Essendon on the road next week, so look, I think that's a handy matchup personally, but it's up to you. I've got a couple of longer-term options. So maybe you're not playing the buys, or maybe you're tanking a week, or maybe you've got bad matchups. Jacob Hopper is one of those gentlemen. Is a forward for GWS, only in 45% of teams. He's had the broken finger. Is listed as 1 to 2 weeks. I really think they're going to look to spell Tirano. So I certainly think Hopper's got the chance. We know he's scored well in the past. Might be a little bit of a stash for your keeper leagues. And this is a real deep play, the last one, gentlemen. Midfielder for Gold Coast Suns, Michael Riscatelli. 19% ownership, is verging on his comeback from a knee reconstruction. Where he fits into that Gold Coast team, I'm not exactly sure. But if you're in a deeper league and you need a midfielder, he's just pay attention, is all I'll say, because he's obviously going to need a few games in the twos, but just pay attention.
No, don't mind it at all, especially when we've been talking about Scotty Lysette, who should be back for the Eagles in the next few weeks.
Yeah, he just ticked over to 68%, so I guess, you know, I mean, I try to stick to 65, not like you guys, you and your 66% ownerships, Jesus. Bloody poet's license.
And I just had a question from one of the comments you made. What's tanking?
Well, just if you're in a buy matchup, and let's say, let's say this week I was heading into my matchup against my opponent, and I had four less players, because I've got a couple injured guys on my bench. So I looked to pick up Carl Amon and give myself any chance so I could maybe drop a couple guys who are fringe keep worthy, but instead I went the other way and made an aggressive trade and just lost the match and got the other player a win. Did it, Costa?
I haven't looked.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll assume he got over the line. He needed a win, the guy I made the trade with, so maybe it was a 60-40 deal to me. That's I look to be aggressive in the buy periods, so I don't mind losing a match if it means my team's better on the other side of the buys.
I get way too salty. I don't run losing matches.
I'm with you, Stephen. I don't like to lose.
it's all about them titles.
Ooh.
I don't know. That's how I play. I want to make my team better. And to be honest, I think this is a big... that's in the dozen deals. I'm like, this is a... Be aggressive.
Perfect time for it.
If you can be.
I tried to be, but when someone's family member passes away, that kind of puts an end to a deal, and that so just that hurts.
Oh, look, not everyone's going to be in those positions. You're mid table, you can't be. Sometimes you're fighting for wins, you can't be. But
the trade I was trying to make was a play to get me an absolute superstar. So. Fell through, but still got the win anyway.
Superstar.
Yes.
Dusty.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Nat Fife almost got a ton today. That could have been a good deal.
Yeah, I know. It was Nat Fife and someone else for Dusty. It was pretty much done.
Sounds like Jeremy Howe sort of territory.
And we'll talk about my waiver wire pickups. Jakey Barrett for the Brisbane Lions, only owned 40% of teams. With Mitch Robinson being ruled out for the rest of the year, you would think Jake's going to run through that midfield as that third midfielder behind Beams and Zorko, and obviously Rockcliffe as well when he comes back. But he's been scoring pretty well in the 80s, so pretty handy pickup if you need someone through the buys. As Stacey said, 2 metre Peter, but we're all going to need a ruckman. And the way I've been looking at it is teams that have had their buy and St Kilda have had their buy. And Billy Longer, only owned by 62%, got a tough matchup against Sauce Jacobs this week. So, but hey, he's still going to score your points. And
I'll be honest, Jono, rucks have scored pretty well against Sauce.
Well, there you go, Billy Longer, 62%. So you're going to need a ruckman if one of yours is out this week. And also I've got Bailey Dale from the Western Bulldogs. He's listed as a mid-forward at only 15%. He started off slow when he got in the side, but he's really cemented his spot the last few weeks before the bye. He's just really good use of the ball and decision-making, and Luke Beveridge likes that. So look for Bailey Dale off your waiver wise, but that's it for me this week. But if you do like the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Do hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. We've had a few reviews this week, and I'll just read out one of them. It's from JP, and he says, found the podcast earlier this year and have listened to every release since. Great content that covers all draft formats and gives you some season-changing advice. Throw in a few laughs and you have yourself the best AFL podcast out there. Also, the Dozen Deals article on their webpage is a gem. So thank you, JP, for that. Please do keep hitting that subscribe button and do leave us a review. Really appreciate it. And we're now moving on to a bit of the review of the round. There's only the six matches this week. And the first match was a bit of a fizzer with Port Adelaide taking on the Hawks. And fire away on the Port Adelaide players.
Yeah, man, they just went bang on Thursday night. Everyone had a great old laugh at the Hawks, except for Hawks fans, I guess. Well, screw them. They were getting salty over on Twitter, all in responding to people, putting up photos of Hodgie with all the cups. You're living in the past, people. Living in the past. Put the cups down. Suck it up. You suck. We've all been there, except for you guys, apparently. Deal with it. We're all having a laugh. But the big man, he's a monster, Charlie Dixon. If there was a player I didn't want to fight in the AFL, well, it'd probably be all of them, but Charlie Dixon would be the man I'd be most scared of. Four snags, 128 Dream Team, 167 Supercoach. Came up breathing fire after wasting all that time the week before, but there you go. Brad Ebert continues to rock the baby swag. Scored 140s in both formats, 89% time on ground. You've got to love that for your pure mids. Ollie Wines cracked the ton. Good for him. He's certainly come back from the Chinese break with a bit better touch. Jared Pollock, guys, continuing his ripping last 5 weeks, just in a rich vein of form. And if Ebert and Wines are doing the business on the inside, he's certainly doing the business on the outside. As Statesman said, Jimmy Tumpus found a fair bit of the pill. Who played Jimmy Tumpus? Yeah. Not many hands are going up, that's all I'm saying. But there was a lot of good middle scores, that, you know, fantasy players who didn't let you down, including old Hambo Hartland, Statesman's mate, Matty Broadbent. If ever there was a game Matty Broadbent was going to get involved in, it was an absolute schlacking of the Hawks. The only guys who were down were Robbie Gray, who continues to look like he's battling injury, and Jasper Pittard, 2 weeks in a row, just an abundance of those running defenders, medium-sized defenders off half-back, and it was Broadbent and Hartlett's turn to score the points this week. I actually think Pittard makes a pretty nice little trade target, to be perfectly honest.
No, fair call there. And could you imagine that forward line if they held on to Big Johnny Butch? Two towers of destruction right there in that Port Adelaide forward line.
He's the missing link, Jono, between them and a premiership.
Oh, it certainly is. Get Johnny Butch back. That's what we want. Pride of Mafra.
Pride of Mafra.
But the Hawks, they were absolutely shocking for four quarters of footy, except for only a handful of guys could put their hand up, really. Tommy Mitch earning that huge pay pack of his. If you've got him, you put the C on him each week, turning up in both formats. Ryan Burton, absolutely starring at the moment. Went about 120 in Dream Team, just the 90s Supercoach. Got to be close to favouritism for the Rising Star alongside Andy McGrath. Jared Rufford was very quiet early, but got to work himself into the game, scoring nicely with a 90 and 98 in Dream Team. And I thought Luke Hodge was okay for an 85 and 92, but the rest of the Hawks were quite woeful, that's for sure. And they will probably be putting in a lot more performances like that over the season as they head on their decline.
And Burton just proves how valuable the waiver wires actually are. I across the board picked him up in nearly every league I've got after round two. So he's one of those players, if you keep a keen eye out, you can actually see the absolute gem. So he's probably my D3 in almost all my leagues. Fantastic season, that young fella.
Mm, absolutely. So the Hawks have their bye in the next week or two. So freshen him up and hopefully gives you a good run to the fantasy finals. The next game was on Friday night between the Cats and the Crows, which was touted as a big blockbuster for two premiership contenders. It was a semi-fizzer of a match, but the Cats, they were on fire yet again. Danger Wood and Danger Wood Jr. all scored quite well. Dangerfield went 150 in Supercoach, 131 Dream Team. Scotty Selwood, Steve was concerned about not getting that 20-odd possessions, finished with 25 possessions and 10 tackles to score 101 Supercoach, 125 Dream Team. So it can be done, Steve. It can be done.
Never said it couldn't be, but I still think he makes a great sell target.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I mean, if you think he's going to keep bashing out tons, then awesome keep target. You got him for free, but I think he's got some serious currency, to be honest.
And I know the Cats have got about, I think, maybe five more games at Simmons Stadium as well, so be very handy for Scotty Selwood then. His brother, Joel, as well, had half his face ripped off, but still scored quite well. 117 Dream Team, 151 Supercoach. Andrew Mackey was just picking off all that loose ball there in defence and running it out of defence. Tunned up both formats. Harry Taylor has learned how to kick goals, seems to be enjoying it now. Again, both tons in both formats. And Sam Menegola and Zach Smith had some pretty... both tunned up in the Supercoach format, not so much in the Dream Team, but still performed quite well as well. Onto the Crow side, wasn't a lot going on for the Crows in terms of fantasy output. Brad Crouch got the ton in Dream Team, but only 76 in Supercoach. Good personality, Tom Lynch, thought he played a pretty good game with the 90 Dream Team and the 105 Supercoach. Matty Crouch got the ton in Supercoach as well. Greenwood, as Steve spoke about before, got the 94 Dream Team, only 72 Supercoach, but still a good pickup if you can find him on your waiver wires. And just a lot of down players for the Crows. We had Rory Laird. We know he copped the knock early in that game. Rory Sloan, they were checking him quite closely. It wasn't just one person tagging. It was basically a team tag at any contest. They just put the elbow into him. And our favourite, Andy Otten. Did he even play on Friday night? Because he scored woeful.
If you didn't trade out Andy Otten 3 or 4 weeks ago, you missed the boat, people. Sorry.
You did.
He turned up last week.
Yeah, but no one cares about that. It's 24.
Fake news.
24.
That's fake news.
24, that's what I remember. If I'm trading in a player, I remember the 24. If I'm trading out a player, I remember the 100.
And the next game was Saturday afternoon between the Gold Coast and West Coast Eagles for the Gold Coast Suns, Fire Away Statesman.
Yeah, and what a surprise of a match this was. It's just like... they're just about to get rid of Rocket. They've got the paperwork. They've got his bags packed. The locker empty, right, ready to go. As soon as this match is finished, you're out, buddy. And sure enough, they get another win. It was just astonishing. And I must say, the West Coast Eagles, we know they've been hampered in the ruck this year. Well, obviously, they're number one and they're number two out with Nick Knapp and Lysett. But losing their full forward, it just showed that it really hurt them. They started Elliot Yeo deep forward, which Yeo ended up going into that type of role where he's playing defence, midfield and forward, the thing that he admitted that created issues with his scoring last year. So he went to it pretty well. When he went back into defence, he started racking up the pill again. He did all right out of the midfield. And he gave him an option up forward. So he actually played this game pretty well. But it'd be interesting to see if he continues those type of roles, whether his output starts dropping. But Gold Coast, they just hung in all game. They just hung around. They were close enough. They got to a position and they held off, which surprised me immensely. But it's a great pat in the back for that group. Unfortunately, their top scorer is sitting in Jono's team because I traded him along with Sam Doherty for a couple of hacks that can't score, that being Jared Lyons, 133. Pierce Hanley, who we just talked about from the waiver wire, 121, was magnificent. Gary Ablett started the game really slow when it comes to a scoring sense. He was getting a fair bit of the pill. I think he had 19 possessions at halftime, but he only had 40-odd points, so it looked like he was going to have a quiet game. But he ended up getting 117 and got a fair bit of attention throughout the game. KK was back to his scoring best, and I regretted all weekend that I didn't pick him up in different format, but 113 for KK. And now that the key defence is back, gentlemen, do you think KK is going to become that sort of halfback flanker, Dylan Robinson type, where he's going to turn up almost every week? What do you think, boys?
It's certainly shown the last 2 weeks when those guys have come back and he's just played loose and been able to score, which is great because I picked KK up off our waiver wire in our league record and I've been enjoying these sweet, sweet scores so far.
Absolutely. Last couple of weeks he's been absolutely fantastic. Mickey Barlow, he did get the score on the board, but he didn't look magnificent, gentlemen, and his pace is being exposed right now. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Do you think he'll stay in the team, Steve?
Questionable.
Yeah, I think...
He's the player they'll throw in a number of roles, isn't he?
Absolutely. And he doesn't get enough midfield time for what he deserves. And he showed at Fremantle, he's not a great half forward. He really isn't. He needs to be working in that midfield. The next player is a bit down and a little bit lost and actually made some poor errors. So his position might be under jeopardy a little bit, is Aaron Hall. Didn't have a fantastic game, but a win probably hides that a little bit. But he did score 106, but most people were expecting 130 to 140 off him this week. May, what a great player that man is. And if he's sitting on any waiver wire, pick him up, 95. Not so good personality, Tom Lynch. Did okay, was pretty slow, but got 94, stood up late in the last quarter. Sexton, who was available on the waiver wires, I'm mentioning him a couple of weeks ago, pumped out a 92. And I think as that sort of rotating midfielder half forward, I think he looks really good in that side. And I think he's there to stay now. And Wrighty, of course, we talked about with 91. And Jared Witts just keeps on pumping out his 80s and 90s with 89. In AFL fantasy scoring this week. So magnificent effort to the Gold Coast. There's not much to say about the West Coast Eagles besides Dom Sheed has taken Chris Marston's role and Dom Sheed is going to keep it. We're starting to see the true Dom Sheed. 126, and I think he is going to be a high-end scorer, only averaging 77 before this weekend, but you see that rise for the next 6 to 7 weeks. Dom Sheed is going to be an absolute superstar when it comes to scoring. I don't think he's going to be any god when it comes to playing. He's just that little hard nut that gets in good positions. He's not going to break lines. He's just going to get your plus sixes and your tackles again and again and again. So Dom Sheed, great pickup. He's available. He was part of our waiver wire list last week because he was actually under the 65%, shot up to 77% this week. A very smart move for those that picked him up off the waiver wire. Luke Shuey continued his good season form with 118. Sam Mitchell played reasonably well for his 107. Elliot Yeo, we talked about, played three areas of the ground for his 106. Andrew Gaff started the game sensationally well, but unlike other weeks, just didn't finish it off. When the game got hot, he just went missing, 85. And Matt Prittis, unfortunately, not having a good couple of weeks with 76. That's West Coast, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for that. And Saturday afternoon, we had GWS taking on the Bombers.
Yeah, well, reasonably. I thought it was a reasonably good game. GWS kicked away. Essendon came back. GWS kicked away again and just sort of held them at bay, I thought, for the majority, for the rest of the match. But, gentlemen, this is Josh Kelly's world, and we're all just living in it.
yep.
Sort of player who we all predicted, without a shadow of a doubt, was going to break out at the start of this year. before a bounce of the ball. There was no chance it was going to be next year. No one. You're biting your lip there.
Didn't see that coming.
You know what I'm actually thinking of? We recorded the Keeper League draft, and I was the manager of the competition. The balls went up, and I got pick 12, so the last one to pick. And I was sitting there going, I've got no real captain here. There's no real options. So for the next two rounds, I was trying to find who's my future captain pick. And I ended up picking up Matt Crouch. Now, the whole time, Josh Kelly was just sitting there. Went all the way through the first, effectively, three rounds till it come back to me. And aren't I kicking myself now? Because I listen to you, Steve.
Who? Me? Well, I don't.
Yeah, this
don't.
Is, but this you're is the, not his year.
You're the keeper expert.
So I thought.
I got Dustin Martin there in second round. Just anyway, yeah, man, he just finds an inexplicable amount of space, doesn't he? Just unbelievable.
But the commentators were right at this game. When are they start going to pay attention to him? When are they going to start putting a hard tag on him?
It's going to be soon, surely. But then doesn't Dylan Sheil hurt you? Don't the other boys hurt you? Coniglio when he comes back, and I don't know. He needs some attention, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
38 touches, 159 Dream Team, 176 Supercoach. What a star. Dylan Sheil played a good game, got into this little bit more game time. Whitfield continues his good score, so 110 in both formats for those boys. I thought the really big fantasy talking point was Zach Williams, and it did happen last week where he got forward time, but he was on the ball this week. He kicked the three goals. He did spend a fraction of time in defence, but is this just a product of all their half forwards being out, or is this something we can expect to continue?
I think it's just Leon Cameron just going, I got so much talent, I can do whatever the hell I want and just mix things up, maybe. But I wouldn't expect it to continue once the true half forwards come back in.
Yeah, you have got a lot out at the moment, so and it's been hurting Heath Shaw for a while, Zach Williams' role, and now he's freed up, Heath gets released. So maybe they think they win both ways. But it'd be interesting to see once they've got those nine of the best 22 out, come back in this team, of where he lines up. I would put my money on that he'll be starting in defence.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and even if Ryan Griffin comes back, you know, he's shown capabilities playing half back as well, so it's going to be an interesting mix. But
it will.
He was fantastic though, for 131 Dream Team, 145 Supercoach, 7 tackles as well as his 3 goals. What a fantastic game. I think Mummy could probably use a rest. He's been a little bit down, shouldering the ruck load, but with Rory Lobb out and Tom Downey retiring, they're a bit thin in the big man department. So you think if GWS had making the tilt at this flag, Big Mummy needs to not die.
Freshen him up.
Well, they got the bye in 2 weeks, so we'll see.
And for Essendon, Joe Watson had a magnificent game, just sort of being a link player rather than the in and under player. Scored 122. Tom Bell Chambers dominated the ruck, especially around the ground. Was a bit slow to start, but really got into the game. 110 for him. Zach Merritt was much quieter. So that's a couple of weeks where Zach Merritt's been a fair bit quieter than what we've been expecting, averaging 125 for the year. Only scored the ton last week and only 106 this week. Dyson Heppel. Now, here's one. Is this the wall that Worsfold's been talking about? Started the game magnificently well and then just sort of disappeared. And I'd love to know what his points were in the last quarter, because I don't reckon it was more than 10, gentlemen. Finished off with 77. Did you notice Dyson dropping away from the game?
Oh, I noticed it the week before more than this week. But, well, you know, that's sometimes that's the way it goes. I mean, I think that's – to be honest, watching a lot of what – because I watch GWS every single week. That's kind of how it goes against GWS. They just kind of grind you out, and they tend to kick you out in the second half. So – maybe it's symptomatic of just playing them, but look, we're not psychologists. I don't think I could say if it's that, but it has happened 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely. Danaher, 73. Zakarakis dropped away from his really good form over the previous 3 weeks with just 66. And unfortunately, Brendan Goddard was a bit short on the glucose and only got 66 points himself.
Well, of course you're going to be short. He smashed it all on the ground.
That's yes. The joke.
That's the joke. Yes, I know. Well, as the joke said, he wanted these killer pythons, and they put gummy bears out. So
that's true. I love a killer python, man. You can't mess with that.
But they've stuffed it all up. You used to get like four in a bag. Now you get one big one. It's like $5.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy. We live in a crazy time, Jono.
We certainly do. And the last game on Saturday night was North Melbourne taking on the Tigers.
Gentlemen, I'm going to throw out a little bit of a road safety announcement here, and that is speed kills. And it certainly killed North Melbourne. They were made to look sloppy and undisciplined and, quite frankly, dumb in their football by the freewheeling Tigers. Dustin Martin absolutely monstered it. He's certainly not a player you would have said 5 years ago was at the peak of his powers and should take whatever contract he got. Dermy, you flog. He's just absolutely fantastic. 160 in both formats. Trent Cotchin continues his fantastic season. No one could have predicted that, gentlemen.
You did.
148 dream team, 129.
It's the only pat on the back we've given you all night. So just accept it and move on.
Boys, I'm going to have to check on Big Footy to see how I'm doing on this podcast. actually, this is the big talking point. Down pressed, he actually looked good. He was moving well.
He
was moving well. He was finding space. He actually looked like he had a little bit of nip in his step. He played really well. 137 Dream Team, 118 Supercoach. That's probably twice as good as his next best score for the year. Bashihouli continues
And is that the return of Meatball?
You know what I really like is they've got a bye coming up. So if he's been finding his fitness, let's say, because we know he's been pretty well injured for the last couple of years.
If he's been doing the Jaeger training block, fitness block.
I'm not sure I'd be trading for him, but if
training block.
No, I said I'm not in terms of fantasy ownership.
Oh.
I said I'm not sure I'd be trading for him, but if I had him, I'd certainly be very very happy with that return. Because last week we were talking about just Cole dropping him. So
yeah, that's right.
But he looked to have a bit of spring in his step. Bashihouli, Jono, man, you'd be loving life with Basher. Did you watch the game?
I was out for dinner for my mum's birthday on Saturday night, so I only caught the last 30 seconds, unfortunately.
But he's just been mopping everything up across half back. Looks fantastic. If you didn't watch the match, I got to know. Toby Nankervis is really starting to slow down, and I'm just wondering if it's the shouldering of a whole ruck load for the first time, whether it's just grinding him down a little bit and whether we can expect these scores to continue to dip. Because he didn't have a great score again.
No, he didn't. And that's quite possible. I mean, has he ever played a full season before?
No.
So yeah, he's probably just feeling the effects of never having to ruck out, 120 minutes week in, week out. So that's quite possible. Hopefully the bye next week freshens him up and he can get back to those big 100-plus scores.
Yeah, he was up against Goldie, so, But, I certainly think...
Goldie's not scoring well either.
No, he's not. It's interesting. North Melbourne, not a lot to write home about. Gibson was fine. Robbie Tarrant played pretty well, scored well anyway. Nice watching him and Rance at each end, for just two of the best key defenders going around. Jamie McMillan, he scored really well, but I actually thought he played pretty crap, to be honest. Some horror kickings, just some bad disposal, bad decisions, like most of North Melbourne, quite frankly. A lot of underperformers, smashed in the centre clearances. Certainly, if I wasn't... I'd just chalk us up and say it's a mulligan, but the pace, it looked like the pace really exposed them all across the park, and they were rushed into poor decisions. They lost their game plan. Sean Higgins is well down. Certainly the sort of player you would have wanted to trade out last week. But yeah, hopefully.
How'd Cunnington go?
Nah, crap again.
Full Cunnington.
I really think he's battling with the injury though, because his game time was in the toilet again. So that knock he got in the knee a couple of weeks ago, I'm hoping that it's not serious. Obviously, they wouldn't be playing him, but I'm hoping that with the week off, that he would freshen up a little bit. I think it's really bothering him because, like, the game time's in the tank. He's not playing like he was, but keep an eye on that.
For sure. And the last game we had was Fremantle taking on Collingwood over there in Perth. Fire away with Freo.
Yeah, and Freo were really under pressure at the start of that game. Now, I've been interested with the amount of time on ground for some of the midfielders for Freo, and Lachie Neal especially has had low time on ground. For two of the four quarters today, he was actually starting on the bench, so they're certainly managing something with him, and they have been with Fife, but they gave Fife 105 minutes today, which is the highest game time he's had for a while. So it's a little bit interesting whether they're managing long-term a few of those players or whether they're actually managing injuries at the moment. And I think it's probably the latter. So I think they're looking for the buy as well. But they were just under so much pressure at the beginning of the game. Collingwood just couldn't put the score on the board. And because they missed all those opportunities, it really kept Fremantle in the game all the way through to halfway through the last quarter. And it looked like for a while that Fremantle were going to steal this game. But point scoring was pretty well down for the Fremantle Dockers, quite high for Collingwood. Of course, if your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, then they should be in your team. 104 for Neil and a nice 82 for Lockie Weller, who again just looks like the little star in defence for them. He's just squared away. He's an absolute keeper, that bloke. Fife scored 99. Blakely continues his good form, a little bit lower in scoring this week, and didn't have a tagging role. He was set free, scored 92. Griffin performed really well in the ruck. Actually, it was a 50-point last quarter that got Grundy a ton. It was quite low for most of the match. And Mundy was a bit quieter with 81, and the two Hill boys look a bit sore at the moment, so they probably need a break. I think Stephen was off getting the knee checked out for a period of time, but they both still had over 100 minutes game time for their 79 and 75, respectfully. I would suggest Fremantle probably need to ride out one more week, have a break, freshen up, and I think they'll get a few more wins at the second half of the season. But I think their percentage says where they really are. They're probably a 10 to 14 position on the ladder side. That's where they're at. Good enthusiasm's got them a couple of wins. I think they'll be in most games, but I don't think they've got the firepower to win most of them.
No, fair call. And their defence was looking pretty good for the next couple of years with the Lockies. But Collingwood, pretty good on the road there in Domain Stadium, Steve.
It was like going to bloody Oprah Winfrey, Jono. It was just, you get a ton, you get a ton, you get a ton. Everyone gets a ton. They controlled the ball, controlled the match, and like Statesman said, didn't really put them away when they should have, which was at quarter time. But anyway, Adams was good, Pendles was good, Elliott was good before he got injured, was certainly their most dangerous forward. Yeah, look, a lot of players got tons, and that's fine. But one other guy I want to talk about is Darcy Moore. Since they've started giving this guy's first 6 or 7 weeks were just horrendous, just buried in the forward line. Since they've started getting him up the ground and into the ruck and getting rid of the goddamn Mason Cox crap experiment, his scores have just flown up and his performance has flown up, and Collingwood are a better team for it, to the point where I actually think Darcy Moore is a pickup option. I'm not sure I'd be putting him on the field, but I'd certainly be considering putting him in my team. All the running players scored well. Josh R. Smith, Seal Sidebottom. Brady Grundy, like Statesman said, was just horrendous for most of the game, and then put it together in the last quarter, I guess, when the game was there to be won, because it quite frankly was. Jordan Ngoi showed quite a bit forward, taking some very strong marks and a nice kick for goal, which is something Collingwood are going to need if Vassolo's going to miss time, and potentially Elliott now, because they're going to be bereft of options. In fact, I'd maybe throw a few shekels on the D's next week. Just Mrs. Fizz is glaring at me. Potential D's beating Collingwood. That's going to be horrendous in this household. But Daniel Daniel Wells, man, looked like he got shot in the leg at one point. Is there a grassy knoll over in the west?
The Freo doctor just wind assisted. Just
wow. Not good, boys. Not good at all. If I had Daniel Wells Tuesday morning, I'm probably cold dropping him.
Yeah, we know what he's like. If it is a calf injury, just cut him and.
And he doesn't. He's not scoring well anyway. He's like the sixth midfielder, seventh midfielder.
He's kind of just floating around the half forward link in the chain sort of player, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not doing enough forward to get forward status. No. So what the hell do I want him? Actually, speaking of forward status, well, not forward status, but DPP additions. Brent Stanton, who's our Essendon man? Is it you?
Statesman.
Brent Stanton.
Yes. Warnie's best and fairest football this year. Yep. I think he's just filling in gaps at the moment, to be quite honest with you. And I think they're trying to blood the future. And I think we've seen, and we talked about Heppel and those that have had the year out. With exception of the defenders, which I think you just need less run in your play. They seem to be going okay. So your Hurleys, your Hibbards, who's obviously at Melbourne, seem to be going quite fine. The ones that need to really put a lot of work in their legs seem to be struggling. We had Watson drop off for 3 or 4 weeks. You've seen Heppel sort of drop away. And Stanton and Watson, just being that little bit older, it seems to have affected them more than anyone else. That's all I can think or see at the moment. And I think Barrett has taken what his role used to be, which is the freewheeling midfield type that can go and run in the space. And if you're going to have a Merritt or a Stanton run that role, you best get Merritt doing it, because he's going to be doing it for a decade.
Oh, yeah, I just meant in terms of Stanton actually being in defence this week. Or not enough.
Yeah, look, I think there is enough, but is he still of any value in your defence?
Hey, you played in a winning team this week, buddy.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, that wraps up the review for round 11 this week. But we're moving on to the questions, Steve. We've got a few questions this week. Going to kick it off with Adam Sutton off Facebook, not so much as a question, but he's just he said, I hope Nunes gets defensive status in AFL Fantasy. He gave up Wingard and Graham to get him in his side. We did see him get defensive status in Ultimate Footy, so hopefully the AFL Fantasy guys follow suit and give Nunes that defensive status, because he's been okay this year, Jack Nunes.
I think he's been quite good.
Yeah, especially lately. Let's hope so. So let's hope so. He gets it there. Tim, the Toolman Taylor's co-host Al Borland sent in. It's more of a visual question, so I would suggest everyone check out the Facebook page, and we'll put it up on Twitter as well. Al says, "Not enough dumb stuff going on the podcast at the moment." And he's put up a picture of Roosie's mullet back in the day. And it's a glorious mullet. It's, you know, business at the front, party at the back, as it should be. And it's a bit of a link to it. He says, is it better than the celebrities in this link? And I've got to say, oh, hell yeah, it is, because those other mullets are quite terrible, except for Andre Agassi's. That's a wig. That was a wig.
I was going to say, Andre Agassi has to get the win, because it's not real.
Yeah. So we'll put that up. It's on the Facebook page now.
Billy Ray. Billy Ray Cyrus is pretty tidy as well.
That's pretty tidy. And Kenny Powers, too. You can't beat that. That's like the perm mullet. That was fantastic, I thought.
Love Kenny Powers.
But also, off Twitter, we've got Mitch Hamilton with his Twitter handle, at Ranger Mitch. Come on, man. Don't come out and say you're a Ranger. You've got to hide that sort of stuff. But
I like that. You own it. You've got to own it, Jono. No one can hang it on you if you own it.
That's true. That's true. He asked, thoughts on holding injured players during the bye rounds? He's got lunch meat in a 10-team league and not sure when he'll be back. But lunch meat will be back in 5 weeks, so he's certainly a hold for me.
Simple answer. Basically, there's two formats, your one season or your keeper. And a keeper, you definitely retain him, hold him through the buys because he's worthwhile as a long-term high-scoring forward for you. For a season-only draft competition, it all depends how many you actually have on your bench. So our listener league is only one player is allowed on the bench. So if you've got two or three injured, all of a sudden you're getting donuts on a weekly basis. So if you're in the running, like I did, I dropped off a player like Lunchmeat, and quite happy to do so if he's out for an extended period, which when it actually happened was between 6 and 12 weeks. So it depends on what your situations are, but I've got a one-season league where I've got Coniglio and Lunchmeat both sitting on the pine at the moment because it's got 6 on our bench. So I can actually hold them and rotate the other players through the buys.
Yeah, I think I would agree with Stace, but I think it also depends on your situation. Like we were talking about being able to wear losses over the buys. Like if you're in a if you're on top of the ladder, you can hold him. But if you need wins, then
cut him or trade.
But to be honest, I can't imagine trade. I can't imagine just cold cutting him because I think he's got trade value. Like,
oh, for sure, especially 6 weeks, which would bring us right to the finals time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's got some trade value. I'd certainly be aggressively flipping him. Whether I'd probably be trying to pair him with a low end mid to try flip him out. But also, if you're in a league that's 220, like 10 teams, 22 players deep, then he's certainly worth holding. If you're only in a 10 team league that's only you're only got 16 players or 18 players, I wouldn't have a problem with dropping him, to be honest.
No, fair enough.
We know a lot of the Supercoach leagues especially are quite shallow compared to some of the others. So.
And our last question comes from OTLS Archie. He says he has no head-to-head draft league games over the bye rounds. Does this mean he has to talk to his family? And I say no, because pretend you're into gardening, pretend you're into cars and fixing engines and stuff. Your wife, your kids, they just leave you alone. I did it this weekend. The missus thought I was going out to watch football. Nah, just pop the bonnet, put my head under the engine, and she left me alone for the whole weekend. It was great.
You're on a bender. Jesus Christ. Come on, Archie. What's going on? How can you run... Honestly, how can you run a podcast? They claim it's a podcast, but if you're asking questions like that, the whole reason you do a podcast is so you don't have to spend time with your family, isn't it? Mrs. Fizz just heard that. I'm screwed, boys.
And I'm expecting a shoe or something to come flying past the camera pretty soon.
She's not laughing. She's not laughing.
I'll just ask my butler whether my family doesn't want to speak to me. No. Okay.
That's why you have a butler. It's a go-between.
That's why I have a butler.
It's exactly a rich. Right. It's a rich man's phone.
Certainly is.
But, hey, Jay, do you have that carrier pigeon? Statesman that was caught with all the ecstasy. Was that you? Maybe that's how you got all your bloody money. Actually, Jono, Jono knows I've worked this out. I've worked it out, Statesman, how you've got all the money. Because we know you work in recruitment.
Yes.
And we know there's one thing that Tasmania doesn't have. It's not legal. It's illegal.
And you both know that I actually don't have any money. All I actually do is the banks have a lot of equity tied up in their paperwork.
So the assets are liquid, people.
Statesman's Land will be opening up for the summer. Go check it out when the Ashes are on in Hobart.
The winery makes a nice front for that, actually. So that's certainly nice. Actually, boys, boys, I wanted to ask a serious question, though. Because we're about halfway through the fantasy season, and we made a lot of predictions. We made a lot of bold statements, a lot of crazy talk about the season. I just want to know, what did you get right and what did you get wrong? Just one thing that you can hang your hat on either way. Jono, what did you get right and wrong?
Certainly haven't got Ty Vickery right, that's for sure.
That was a risk. That was a sleeper pick. You know, it's not the end of the world.
But no, I've been pretty happy with Rory Atkins' pick this year.
That was pretty solid.
I'll hang my hat on that one. Like, not starring, but he's put up some pretty good scores.
Statesman, how about you, mate?
Well, for the one I've got wrong is certainly so far, and you guys more warned me about this one, but Brody Smith has not worked out.
Either has Brett Delidio.
No, he went for Brody Smith. No.
Yeah, but
I do anyway, Brody Smith.
But I drafted Brody Smith. We were only bantering with Brett Delidio. I was never going to pick him up in anything. So there is a difference. And the thing I've got right, although it was slow to come, was being so strong on Jack Billings.
Yeah, he's kicking into gear now, though.
He is. He was quite slow, 111 over his last five, which does include a 67. But when you can pump out as a small forward 151, that gets you a league win.
Absolutely. Just for mine...
I need to add one more. Late pickup ruckman, Matthew Kruser.
Yeah, we were all over the late ruckman, weren't we?
Yes.
That was some good eating. The two things I got, I'll say Jack Gunston is a bust. That was he's not looking good. And one thing, no one had. Everyone was on Melbourne and St Kilda, but Richmond was the team I had going into the eight, and they're looking kind of the business. There's a long way to go, but
a long way to go, and they can still fail.
I picked three teams to get into the eight this year, and they're sitting 9th, 10th, and 11th. With Melbourne, Collingwood, St Kilda. So there's still a red-hot chance, especially with West Coast and Freo and Richmond still in the eight at the moment. Is
Freo still in the eight? Because I picked them for the eight.
They won't be in three or 4 weeks.
Time. Yeah, no. I'm sorry, boys. Is this 65%? Is this what's going on?
I think from memory, I tipped Sydney Swans as playing GWS in the grand final. They're currently sitting in 16th position.
That's going to make it tough. But before we do wrap it up, we did have the tragic terrorist attack there in London. And on my Facebook feed has popped up probably the most English thing I've ever seen. There's a photo of a bloke. He's running from wherever he was with his pint in his hand.
God bless him.
People are giving him stick for it on Twitter and everything, but a lot of Londoners have come out and said, no, well, that's the most English thing you can do because a pint's like £6 over there, which is the equivalent of the average mortgage here in Australia. So well done to him. And just have a bit of the English humour, which I quite like.
How can you bag that? That's the terrorists aren't winning.
If you
haven't spilled your drink.
Yeah, and he's going to need that beer from all the horror he's seen anyway, so props to him. But that wraps up the show for this week. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got a dozen deals, Statesman Skippers, and our late week pickups dropping every week. And good luck in your matchups over the bye rounds, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.